from the welcome to the contribution message, to the communion message. I tell you, man, I'm about to thinking, it's about time for Women's Day next year. All these powerful sisters up in here speaking. It is done, and it will be done next year. I guarantee you that much. But I am so encouraged by how God worked through the women in this congregation. Richard, a great job on the song selections. Really good. Great job, brother. Found myself back there bouncing a little bit around there. Really excited. Guys, we're going to be back over the Gospel of Mark. Just going through the Gospel of Mark this about morning again. And just really looking at Jesus' life from the perspective of Mark. Of course, Mark is getting his perspective from Peter, firsthand information. And you know, the one thing that I'm noticing out here, we're in chapter 2. The one thing that I'm noticing so far, and all we've made is to chapter 2, is that what I've come to realize is that the good you do would draw a following.
Amen.
That's what I noticed in here. The good you do would draw a following. Let's take a look at some of the good works that Jesus had been doing. Number one, he announced the good news.
Right.
Number two, he called his first disciples to follow him and go make disciples.
Right.
Number three, he taught with confidence, with authority. Number four, he drove out an impure spirit. Five, he healed Simon's mother. And of course, that prompted what? More people to come to Simon's mother's doorstep, or Simon's house, I should say. And he cured many people with various diseases. Man, Jesus is busy. It says he went, preaching the good news in different synagogues in the town of Galilee. Basically, synagogues would be our churches. And finally, he healed a man with leprosy. And although the man couldn't keep it to himself, Jesus still found a way to work around that. And he stayed outside of town, and people came to him outside of town. And he did good. I thought, man, the good you do would draw a following.
Amen.
Are you busy doing good in your community and in your area?
Come on.
Are you drawing a following? Are people wanting to follow you because they recognize the good that you are doing wherever you are? You know, we recognize the bad in the world, but not too often do we talk about the good that's going on. And let's face it, our world needs a lot of good. It does. It needed good before we showed up, before we all was born. It's going to need good long after we're gone. But while we are here at this time, let's make sure we do a lot of good so that we can draw a following. Because people want good news in their lives. You know, when you do good for others in a hurting community that is longing for help or a cure, you can be sure that they will spread the news of the good that you are doing.
That's right.
People will talk it. They will share. As we all know, the old saying, word of mouth. Whether it's good or bad. Look at Mark 2. So here we have Jesus here. In this chapter in Mark 2, Jesus is going to talk about forgiveness, forgiving, and heals a man who's paralyzed. And in verse 1, it says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Let me tell you something. Good news begins with the word of God. It just does. Jesus has come home. He's in his community. They knew he was there. So why is he getting this large crowd? Well, we just talked about it. All the good he's been doing, people are aware of it. Word of mouth has been spreading. His reputation has preceded him before he even got back home. And so now people are like, oh, he's here. Let's get there. It's crowded in the house. It's crowded outside the door. You just can't get in. But the first thing Jesus does before he does any more healing is he preaches the word of God to them.
That's right.
Why share the word of God? Because it frees men and women from the bondage of sin. Mm-hmm. It speaks hope into their lives. Wow. That's what the word of God does. It frees people and it speaks hope into their lives. Knowing your Bible allows you to set others free. I'm going to say that again. Knowing your Bible, which is the word of God, allows you to set others free. Allows you to empower others and educate them on how to live a righteous life.
Come
could go to church for the rest of your life, but if you don't pick up the word, and I really appreciate Gloria expressing this, really just emphasizing on just being devoted to God, getting in your word. You can go to church all you want. You can go to any church but you want to, but if you're not in the word of God, in your devotional, studying, learning, and listening, you are no good to nobody at all. Just not.
Right.
It's just like showing up for a job. You can show up for a job all you want and be there. But if you do not take the tools or take the information they've given you and put them into practice on that job, you're no good to the company. The company has no use for you. And when the company realizes that they have no use for you, they will let you go. That's the kind word. Basically, going to fire you. That's the harsh word.
Yeah.
You can go to any school, any college that you want. You can play any type of sport. You can do anything. But let me tell you something. If you're not learning and retaining the information that the school is putting into you or the team is putting into you, you're no good to the school. That's it. And really, you're no good to yourself. You're no good to the community. Knowing your Bible, knowing the Word of God, will allow you to set others free, but it also will empower others and it will educate them on how to live a righteous life. Your quiet time is meant to help you to help others. You know, I was talking to my neighbor the other day. Actually, yesterday I was sitting there, my old neighbor was sitting there talking. And just give an example of how I educate. So we were talking about insurance. Because I work with a law firm, we try to help people, deal with the insurance company and work through a lot of things. So he did the one thing that most people do. He said, I got full coverage. So I always say, what's full coverage? We got full coverage. But no, what's full coverage? I want to know, because I know what full coverage is. If you're saying like most people is, you really have nothing. I said, let me tell you what you should have, because I do this bill. Full coverage is only property damage and body injury. That's what your full coverage is. I said, where's your unsure motors? You need that. Because your unsure motors, if you're riding with me, or I say if your wife riding with you, that'll cover them. I said, what about your comprehensive in collision? What about your rental reimbursement, your torn reimbursement? I said, what about your med pay? Well, I got $1,000. I said, that ain't nothing. The ambulance rides more than $1,000 and they pick you up. I said, you can get $25,000 in med pay for only a few dollars. I'm not talking hundreds, I'm talking about a few dollars. $25,000, but the insurance don't tell you that. But you see, I know this and I need to educate them on this. I know my field, I know what I do. And I tell a lot of clients this all the time. And a lot of them say, I can't afford this. I said, can you afford liability? I said, yeah, tell them to add uninsured motors. Because liability will pay for the next person that you hit or something, but insured motors will take care of you.
Yep.
Your insurance company ain't gonna tell you that. I only know that because I've educated myself in the job that I do. So I'm a help to the people that I'm trying to help. This is sending them God's word. Are you educating yourself in the word of God? It's hard to help anybody when you don't know the word. You don't know how to direct them in the right way. You don't know how to empower them scripture. It's just hard to do. You really have to be fully invested in your word so that you can preach the word to people. Because God is going to send people in your direction. Let me tell you something. When you're doing good and you're doing positive things, you're going to draw a following. And when that following comes to you, you need to be prepared. In season and out of season. I desire to set people free from not knowing. Do you desire to set people free from not knowing the truth? Think about it. I want people to know the truth, the joy that God is bringing to them, that he's trying to present to them. That's my desire. I want them to know. I don't want them to no longer to be walking around in the dark thinking that they're okay, that they're all right. When I can clearly see, you're not all right and you're not okay. I want people to know the truth. I was sharing with Todd the other day. He was over at the house the other day, moving some stuff, talking. And I was sharing with him about this thing I watch called Prayer Gifts. So I look at this and I kind of try to understand communities. There was this one interview where it was interviewing campus kids. And so they were talking about things that campus kids are being bombarded with. And that's with the transgender community. I want to be this and I want to be this type of person. I want to be everything except for what God created me to be. If I was created to be a man, then I'd be a man. If I was created to be a woman, then I'd be a woman. Everything like that. So they was interviewing these kids. And, you can see from them, they're like, they don't want to be confrontational. Like, well, if they want to be that, they can be that. But I don't have no problem with that. And so the man said, let me ask you this question. Would you date a woman who had a man part? And the guy said, no. He said, but you just said you're okay with that. He said, hold on, draw a line. He asked the same thing to women. He says, Let me ask you something. We did a guy who had women for us. She's like, no. He said, well, wait a minute. You're okay. But they said, well, no, that's different. You know, let them do them and I do me. And you so it was like, wow, many of this. I'm like, man, they need so much to be educated. They're willing to go with anything and gravitate toward anything, but they're not educated on the things that God is trying to tell them or show them. And therefore, they don't know where to go or what to do. They don't know what to do. I thought, man, we really need to have a desire to set people free from not knowing. There are many campuses where people do not know the truth. And the truth that they are living by is what people are feeling or what people desire that they want to do outside of God's righteousness.
That's right.
You know, so here it is. Jesus gets here and he's preaching. That's the first thing to do. And pick it up in verse 3. We're going to witness something happen here. And it says, some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it. And then lowered the mat the man was lying on. Wow. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Let's stop and talk about love, faith, and friendship. There's nothing better than to have some friends who are truly devoted to you, who will go above and beyond the call of the duty of what my friendship says it should be, to see to it that you are taken care of. I thought it was going to be four friends. How long have they been watching their friend paralyzed, suffering, not able to do the things that they can do? Run, walk, you know what I'm saying? Go when you want to go, come when you want to come. How long have they watched their friends suffer? And you know, for some reason, when they heard Jesus was in town, guess what? We've heard the good that Jesus has been doing. Mm-hmm. We're going to take it to where we know is the cure.
Yep.
The cure is in town. We're going to get there. They get there, and guess what? We can't even get to the door, man. We can't even get to the door. How are we going to get there? But did they allow that to deter them?
No.
Boy, that's some faith persevering. Somebody there was strategizing, thinking, oh, we're going to get you in the house. I don't know you, but we're going to get you in the house. We would not be deterred. We would not be denied this time. Because they got to be thinking, Jesus is subject to leave, and he may not come back. Them guys put their heads together. We're going to take them to the roof. And back in those days, roofs were made flat. They're not like our pitch roof, but they were made flat with a little covering over them. And I can't imagine Jesus sitting there teaching and preaching in the house. You know, when you're digging, debris is going to fall upwards, but it's also going to fall downwards. And they're just digging and digging. They're determined to get this guy in. And Jesus is knowing this. And he allows them to lower this man before him. Jesus was blown away by their faith and their love for their friend. He looked at that man and said, son, your sins are forgiven. You know, that made me think. So I did a little research. Wow, why he says his sins are forgiven? Versus what we always hear is like, pick your mat and go. You know, sometimes when we are in a sick state, it's because our sin has put us there. Amen. Our sinful nature, we have entertained it, we have indulged in it, and has made us so sick that we can't even move. We can't be mobile. We can't do nothing. But there is a king who says, you know what? If you can get to me and you're willing to change, you have a repentant heart, even if you got friends who are willing to fight for you, he's willing to forgive you. He forgave this guy of his sin. So this guy did not have to no longer suffer. How many friends and family members have you seen ill and wanted to help? What lengths would you go to see them healed? You know, they didn't simply pray about it, and we all know about praying, but they put their feet, hands, and arms to their prayers. That's what was amazing in this. They just didn't pray about it, but they seen that after they prayed, they could do more about it. They put their feet, their hands, and their arms to it.
Yep.
They picked them up on a mat. They all four carried them. Let's get going. We're going to get there. And when they get there, they didn't stop. They put their thing. They said, let's think. We're going to get him inside there. We're going to get him inside there. They thought. Prayer is good, but action makes it go better. Mm-hmm. You see, they didn't allow a difficult obstacle to stop them from achieving their goal, and that was getting them cured. I was reading an article about a group called Boys to Men. Who know Boys to Men? Oh, man, I'm telling you. All right, come on. Yes. Okay, good, amen. Not too old. But it was talking about how Boys to Men, how they made it big, and it talked about how they really thought. So you had, there was actually originally 5 group members. Didn't know that. But, so Belle Bendeville was in town at a concert, and so they knew a friend who was a DJ. So the best he could do was get him some tickets near the stage and near where you go to the back entrance. But they were trying to get to the back entrance where Michael Bibb was at. And so what the best they could do was they got a friend to come out from the back and say, look, I can get 2 backstage tickets for you. That's it. But all 5 of them need to get there for the harmony to work, for them to sing. And so they thought, they said, okay, we'll take it. So 2 guys went in with the tickets, had to keep it on them. And so what they did was, when one was back there, he just stayed back there, K-low-key. One kid brought in 2 tickets. Yeah, I got 2 passes for 2 guys, give it that. And they did the whole time, got each one of them back there every time. Each time, one would go back, get another. With the same 2 passes. I said, wow. And they said, that's how they got all 5 group members back there to perform for Michael Bibbins and to get their contract. Them brothers were refusing to be deterred. Them young men were thinking, we can wear these passes out. That's how we got to be for people. You know what I'm saying? That's how we got to be for loved ones. We got to be thinking like, man, how can I make this happen? There's got to be a way. God bless their efforts. God bless these 4 guys' efforts to see their friend healed. What lengths will you go to, man, to see your goal attained? What actions are you willing to put behind your prayers and your faith to help a friend? And we have many friends and many neighbors who need help. Pick up verse 6, it says, now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. He says, who can forgive sin but God alone? Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. He said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say? He says to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk. But I want you to know, he says that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So I say to the man, I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home. A critical spirit can cost you God. If you have a critical spirit, it will cost you God, point blank. You know, these guys are wanting to say, man, Jesus, he hears them, he says, why are you thinking this? These Pharisees, they're so busy looking for God, wanting to meet God. It should have dawned on them that God is right here. Because for Jesus to turn and look at you in your eyes and say, why are you thinking these things? The very thing that you're thinking privately, but he exposes and lets you know, I know what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. When it makes you think, hold on. This is not an ordinary person. This has got to be some form of godliness, or this has got to be God himself. But sometimes when you are so critical, you can't see God. Do you know that? When you are so critical, church should be this way. Church should be that way. Shouldn't do this. Shouldn't do that. Shouldn't do this. We should walk this. We're not walking. When you are so critical, you actually would miss seeing God.
Yep.
Do you ever start to think that God can see within you? Do you ever start to think about that?
Absolutely.
Now, how many of us are familiar with Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13? The word is like a double-edged what?
Sword.
God knows. Cuts to the bones and marrows, right? Judges what? The thoughts and what? Attitudes of the what? What makes you think God can't see within you? I wonder what made them thought that God could see within them. Can you imagine sitting there being critical and Jesus turns to look at you and say, why are you thinking that? That would have to freak you out. Wait a minute, how do you know what I'm thinking? How do you know exactly what I'm thinking? Word for word. But they were so critical, they didn't get it. They didn't see it. When you are critical of the Word of God and the work that God is doing, you will miss seeing Him. A critical spirit is closed off and damaging to your soul. Will you stop being critical so God can commune with you? Will you stop being critical so you can see God? You have to stop being critical. You have to be open to the things that God is doing. You have to desire to want to see God more than you desire to be critical of everything that God is doing. These guys were so closed off that the very thing that they hungered for, that they wanted, that they're missing it right now. They're actually missing it. Over the simple fact that God says, your sins are forgiven. They're so stuck in tradition and pride. You can't do that. You can't say that. That they're missing it. They don't care if the man's been healed or not. I don't care about it. You can't say that. Somebody, no, you don't need to be healed. You can't say that. They'd rather this guy continue to suffer versus Jesus saying that word. Ain't that something? That's what a critical spirit does. A critical spirit will deny healing for others and will deny you seeing God. You have to desire change. You have to desire not to want to be critical, but you have to desire more to want to see God than entertaining your critical spirit. Finally, in closing, in verse 12, it says, he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of all of them. I would have did the same thing. Ooh, I don't know how long I've been paralyzed, but if I'm healed, I can get him to take my mat. Oh, I'm gone. I can imagine everybody's in amazement, and that whole door is part of like the Red Sea. They're like, whoa, I'm going home. Life has changed. The Lord has changed my life forever, and I'm excited. And not only was he excited, but it goes on and says, when he walked out in full view of all of them, it says, this amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. You see, whereas the leaders, the Pharisees, man, had a critical spirit, everybody else didn't. They realized, oh, this don't happen every day. We haven't seen nothing like this. This is something different. I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this.
This is so different.
Let me tell you something. Do you want to be a part of what God is doing? God is doing something different. There's a scripture a lot of us know. It says, you know, God is doing something new today. It says, today is a new day, and God is doing something new. Do you want to be a part of what God is doing now? Or do you want to live with a critical spirit and say, well, it shouldn't be done that way? I'm here to tell you, when Jesus comes back, he's going to be doing something new, and a lot of people are not going to be able to embrace it because their spirit is critical. But for you and I, we have an opportunity to embrace and praise the Lord like these people here and stand in amazement and watch all the great miracles that God does in our lives and in the lives of our friends. Jesus was a busy man healing. He's added to his list of the good that he is doing. His following is growing bigger and bigger because Jesus is not about himself or what can be done for himself, but he's about the community. The people that he can serve and help them to have a better life. People need us in this community. People need us to help them. People need us to help them to know the truth and no longer live in the dark.
Yep.
People want healing. People want inspiration. And people want to be around other people who are making every effort to live a righteous life. That's so true. We are that. We are that. And we need to be hungry more and more to want to be an example for others. That's what righteousness looks like. Now, we are not perfect, but we are righteous.
That's right.
We do drop the ball, but we are righteous. We have our days where we go back and forth with God. Everybody can tell you, we have our days when we're talking to God. Like, hey, you know what? I still don't know if I want to obey. We have our times. But usually God ends up getting his way with us. He just does. God entertains us. You know, I tell you a story. I don't know if I told you this last time. I think it was with my daughter Candace. And she had did something. It was just wearing me out. And I was like, you know, my son, God, that girl really makes me mad. You know, I'm trying to remember what it was. But somehow I know it worked out. And eventually, you know, I ended up doing it. But I was just upset with her. Like, ah. You know, but You know, and I kept saying to myself, it's going to be all right. And I was playing a song by, Tyree Tibbett, I think it is. He said, we're going to be all right. And I said, because that's what I do sometimes. Sometimes when I'm a little fresh, upset, I said, let me put some gospel on. Mm-hmm. So I'll be all right, get pumped up. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Mm-hmm. So the next song came on, Kirk Franklin. It's going to be all right. It's okay. 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 Then another song came on, I said, Lord, you're getting my carry right here. And then the fourth song came on, and just like, it's going to be all right. I said, all right. And I just had to start laughing and crying a little bit. I said, it's going to be right. And it ended up working out just fine. But I was having a moment. And the Lord, I wanted to play one song on my Spotify, but he just went on every other song. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You know, and I thought, wow, it's going to be all right. You know, sometimes, you know, life is challenging and it's hard, but people need us. They need to know that it's going to be all right. People need disciples without a critical spirit. People need disciples who express love, faith, and friendship. People need disciples who are doing good that they will want to follow us. My challenge this morning to us, those of us who've been around for a minute, stay in your Bible. Knowing your Bible. You can't help nobody if you're uneducated of God's Word. I'm saying, if you're uneducated and don't know God's Word, you can't help a soul. But if you're educated, you can help a soul. To those who are visiting, give the person that invited you out, and let's study the Bible. Let's study the Bible. Let's get to know God. Let's get on fire. And let's let God help you to do good that would draw a following. To God be the glory. Thank you guys so much.
Amen.